I think pretty much since my childhood, I've always had a terrible sense of direction. I remember being in my fourth year of theology, studying in Rome, and a college classmate came to visit. And he was on like his second day in Rome, and I was driving him somewhere. And he started correcting me where to turn to get where we were going. I'd been there almost 4 years. And honestly, even though I was getting us lost and he was getting us on the right road, it was a little frustrating and certainly a little humbling. You know, we all have things that we enjoy, that we're good at, and directions is not one of my superpowers. Thankfully, it is for my classmate. Jesus has superpowers that none of us has. And yet, it is pretty common for us to pretend that we don't need him. It can even be frustrating, or worse, to realize that we do. In today's gospel, Jesus is asked the question, will only a few be saved? And he doesn't respond with numbers or percentages, thankfully. He says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. That's a packed sentence, right? So first of all, what is the narrow gate? And where is it? It's the gate to salvation, to the heavenly kingdom. The gate to eternal life, the gate to eternal joy, the fullness of joy. Why is it narrow? Does God not want a lot of people to share the joy of his table? God desires all people to be saved. Scripture also says that very explicitly. The gate is narrow because it's Jesus. The narrow gate is a single person, Jesus. Jesus' primary superpower is not just having the right sense of direction for how to get to heaven. He's not just a sign pointer, but being the only gate through which we get to heaven. So why does he say that we need to strive to enter through him? The Greek word there for strive is the same word used for Jesus' agony in the garden. The Greek word is actually agonizai. Sounds like agony, right? But it's used for athletes, for training and disciplining, striving to prepare oneself for the contest. Right? The agonizing or striving of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was the ultimate athletic contest of bringing his human will to accept and embrace the suffering of the cross. So when he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, it's a way of saying, train yourself, prepare yourself to accept the cross which God gives you and which is necessary to follow Jesus. Enter through the narrow gate means carry your cross to and through Jesus. The narrow gate is Jesus. Striving to enter it is accepting the cross. The second half of that line says that for many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. Now that does not mean that for some of us our cross will simply be too much and we won't be strong enough to carry it. That is not what Jesus is saying. What happens is that many attempt to enter salvation without regard to the cross at all. They attempt to enter through another gate on their own. How many times do we try to save ourselves? I don't need Jesus. I certainly don't want to carry a cross. Let me just try to be a decent person on my own. And hey, that should be enough for God. But Jesus, what he's saying is that we're not strong enough to enter the kingdom on our own. None of us are. Our hearts, our eyes, our thoughts immediately get pulled in this direction, or in that direction, or in another direction. And the whole time the devil is drawing us further and further away from that narrow gate, and further away from God's kingdom altogether. And then we're more lost than I ever was in Rome. And then, at the end of our life, when we've disregarded the narrow gate and it's locked on us, and we try to say, yeah, but when I was a kid, I went to religious ed class. I even went to a few masses. I know who Jesus is. And by know, we mean we know him kind of like, I know Vladimir Putin is president of Russia, and I've read about him, but I've never met him, and not really concerned to meet him. Even though I may have, you know, President Putin certainly does not know Father Dan Mers, even though I've talked about him any number of times, without any intention of getting to know him. Do we simply know Jesus by reputation? Or have we entered into a relationship with him? Will he look at us and say, I've been here the whole time. I've always been here. And yet we've never met. And by here, I mean he's always been present in our hearts, our souls, our minds. How much are we present to his? Everything we do is done in his company, as the gospel said. You ate and drank in our company. When we're eating and drinking in his company, are we aware of his presence? Would we be comfortable with his presence in our company when we're doing, you know, what? The normal things we do in our day. Here in Colombia, this week especially, people are coming from north and south, east and west. Some of them will come here to be with us at Newman. Some of them are waiting for an invitation from us to come to Newman, to come to Jesus at Newman. Some of them are striving to enter the kingdom or their own version of the kingdom through a lot of other gates. They're striving to find community and connection and excitement and pleasure, maybe even joy, through many other gates. But there's only one gate, narrow in the sense that it's one, that leads to community, connection, peace, joy, kindness, patience, gentleness, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Strive to enter that narrow gate. And let's together strive to invite and bring others to the pearl of great price that is a real relationship with the Lord and with all of his friends. Real, not Putin-esque real. The fruits of attempting other gates are frustration. The fruits of striving for the narrow gate are beautiful. So here's the homework for the week. Let's strive to be mindful this week that everything we do, we're doing in his company. And let's strive to acknowledge his presence as much as we can. The fruits will be out of this world.